You're listening to an African Elements top news story for May 13, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Roots of the Sudan conflict, a nation at the brink. In May 2026, humanitarian organizations issued a severe warning to the global community. The ongoing conflict in Sudan reached a critical tipping point. Renewed fighting erupted aggressively across major urban centers. Drone warfare shattered any remaining semblance of peace. This violence triggered a massive wave of displacement. Millions of people fled toward neighboring countries in desperate search of safety. Observers must look deep into the past to comprehend this catastrophe. The roots involve decades of political instability and intense ethnic tension. A fractured military apparatus laid the foundation for today. The current war centers around a fierce struggle for total control. Two powerful military leaders drive this devastating conflict. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan commands the Sudanese armed forces. General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, known commonly as Hemeti, leads the paramilitary rapid support forces. These men were once incredibly close allies. They jointly overthrew longtime dictator Omar al-Bashir in April 2019. The public fiercely demanded a transition to a civilian democracy. However, the military leaders consolidated power behind a sovereign council. In October 2021, Burhan and Hemeti staged another sudden coup. They dissolved the transitional government entirely. They arrested the civilian prime minister, Abdallah Hamdok. This action crushed any hopes for a peaceful democratic transition. It set the stage for direct confrontation between the factions. The immediate trigger for the war in April 2023 involved a fierce integration dispute. The two factions disagreed on how to integrate the paramilitary group into the National Army. The National Army demanded a brief 2-year timeline. The paramilitary leaders insisted on 10 years to maintain their financial autonomy. The paramilitary group did not emerge from a void. Its dark history connects directly to the 2003 Darfur conflict. During the early 2000s, the Bashir regime armed Arab nomadic groups. These militias became known worldwide as the Janjaweed. The government used them to suppress an ethnic African insurgency. The Janjaweed targeted indigenous Black African ethnic groups like the Fur and Masalit. These indigenous populations faced systemic marginalization and brutal ethnic cleansing. State-sponsored racialized violence dominated the entire region. The current tactics mirror those historical atrocities closely. The paramilitary forces utilize ethnic targeting and scorched earth campaigns. United Nations investigators noted recent sieges showed horrifying hallmarks of genocide. The violence echoes the horrors of two decades ago perfectly. The displacement of the Masalit and Fur people represents a deliberate tool. Militias use land dispossession to assert absolute dominance. Similar to how Reconstruction failed African Americans, post-conflict periods in Sudan repeatedly fail marginalized communities. The state annulled traditional land ownership rights intentionally. This maneuver facilitated resource extraction and political suppression. The conflict recently entered a substantially deadlier phase. Expanded urban warfare and advanced technology define this new era. A dramatic surge in drone strikes occurred in early May 2026. This violence shattered a period of relative calm in Khartoum and Omdurman. Reports indicate that drones caused the vast majority of civilian fatalities. Foreign nations fuel this violence significantly. Iran supplied the National Army with advanced attack drones. The United Arab Emirates allegedly provided the paramilitary forces with destructive weaponry. These foreign interventions violate international arms embargoes flagrantly. Nations utilize clandestine smuggling routes to circumvent oversight. The National Army used Iranian drones to regain territory. The paramilitary forces received quadcopter drones disguised cleverly as humanitarian aid. Satellite imagery confirms the presence of these weapons. Foreign powers seek to secure Red Sea outposts and immense mineral wealth. They prioritize regional influence over the lives of Sudanese civilians. The capital city of Khartoum remains in absolute ruins today. Makeshift cemeteries cover the previously bustling metropolitan landscape. The violence extends far beyond the central capital region. Heavy fighting erupted in the southeastern Blue Nile area recently. This escalation displaced nearly 50,000 people within a matter of days. The front involves a complex alliance between paramilitary forces and liberation factions. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement North represents marginalized people in the region. This group fights fiercely against systemic Arabization policies. Their involvement proves the conflict goes beyond two ambitious generals. It represents a long and painful struggle for ethnic liberation. The Liberation Movement envisions a secular and democratic country entirely. They fight for equal citizenship for all marginalized ethnic groups. The central government historically promoted Arab supremacy as strict state ideology. This dynamic marginalized those in the periphery who maintained their African heritage. The binary between Arab and African identities is a political construct. It stems directly from colonial tactics and institutionalized social hierarchies. The dynamic reflects an ongoing struggle for Black liberation seen frequently across the global diaspora. The central elite views the African interior merely as a resource to exploit. The socio-political dynamics in Sudan feature a profound identity crisis. The division between Arab and African identities shapes the ongoing violence. These labels represent cultural and political identities rather than strict racial categories based on skin color. The former dictatorship promoted Arab supremacy systematically. This harsh ideology institutionalized a rigid social hierarchy. It heavily favored individuals who adopted Arab culture and the Arabic language. Citizens who proudly maintained their indigenous African heritage faced severe marginalization. This hierarchy creates an oppressive system of discrimination everywhere. People with similar skin tones experience entirely different treatment. The central government often viewed the African interior as a space to civilize forcibly. State-backed militias enforced these cultural mandates through sheer violence. The current conflict continues this tragic legacy of cultural erasure. Understanding this dynamic is essential for grasping the depth of the crisis. It highlights the absolute importance of inclusive frameworks in diverse nations. Leaders who champion visionary policies offer essential blueprints for healing. Similar to leaders pushing a bold move toward reparations, Sudan requires systemic acknowledgement of past wrongs to build a unified future. Despite the massive scale, global funding remains critically low. The humanitarian response plan for Sudan was severely underfunded in 2026. Global attention remains diverted to conflicts elsewhere. Critics point to systemic anti-blackness as a primary reason. Western nations lack strategic interest in the region. Humanitarian appeals for Sudan frequently remain completely unfulfilled. Meanwhile, similar appeals for European conflicts reach record funding levels quickly. This glaring disparity reveals a disturbing reality about global priorities. Crisis fatigue is frequently cited by international donors. However, social justice advocates argue this fatigue is selectively applied. The lack of a clear geopolitical villain makes mobilization difficult. Western nations hesitate to mobilize tax dollars for Sudan. Consequently, millions face severe food insecurity and brutal starvation. The healthcare system experienced a massive collapse in urban centers. Cholera cases spread rapidly across all 18 states. Sudanese lives appear devalued in the realm of global policy. The humanitarian neglect exacerbates the devastating death toll daily. Sudan suffers from severe foreign interference and economic exploitation. The Russian mercenary Wagner Group exploits African natural resources aggressively. They extract gold in exchange for providing military support. This organization entered Sudan through a deal with the former dictator. They provided security while receiving lucrative gold mining concessions. The mercenaries smuggle billions of dollars worth of gold out of the country. This illicit wealth funds Russian state operations globally. It directly undermines any remaining democratic movements in Sudan. The mercenary group provides advanced military hardware to paramilitary forces. They supply surface-to-air missiles to protect mining interests in Darfur. Their primary political goal involves thwarting a democratic transition. An authoritarian partner allows the uninterrupted illicit exploitation of resources. The exploitation of black labor and land mirrors historical injustices globally. Similar to how involuntary servitude continued through oppressive systems in America, foreign powers extract wealth while subjugating the local population. The current administration under President Donald Trump has largely ignored these specific geopolitical maneuvers in Africa. Amidst the absolute devastation, local civilian networks show extraordinary resilience. Pro-democracy resistance committees serve as the backbone of daily survival. These youth-led groups transitioned from political protesters to aid providers. They established emergency response rooms in war-torn neighborhoods. These decentralized networks manage soup kitchens and makeshift clinics safely. They represent the only force sustaining civilian life in abandoned areas. This bottom-up democratization allows local populations to control aid distribution directly. It contrasts sharply with the impersonal approach of large international agencies. Because they represent a democratic threat, these networks face immense danger. Both military factions frequently target, detain, and kill committee members. The fight for justice remains incredibly perilous. Historical parallels exist where revolutionary leaders face intense suppression, reminding observers of how states often silence political prisoners to maintain illegitimate power. Despite the ongoing war, the committees continue to coordinate mutual aid. They treat mutual aid as a vital form of political resistance. They maintain the revolutionary dream of a Sudan governed by its actual people. Their incredible bravery offers a glimmer of hope in a dark era. The nation of Sudan currently teeters on the edge of total collapse. The conflict resembles a post-state environment defined by a war economy. Local militias increasingly control valuable resources like agricultural land. The severe fragmentation of national authority complicates any potential peace process. The massive wave of refugees destabilizes already fragile neighboring countries. Chad currently hosts over 1 million Sudanese refugees. These individuals flee targeted violence and unimaginable horrors daily. International organizations must recognize the profound gravity of this situation. The historical roots of racial violence and political suppression demand immediate attention. The global community cannot continue to ignore this enormous crisis. Meaningful intervention requires addressing the systemic inequalities and foreign exploitation directly. The brave civilians of Sudan deserve a functional and democratic society. They have fought tirelessly for freedom, peace, and justice. The world must support their struggle before the nation fractures permanently. The resilience of the Sudanese people remains their most powerful asset. Copyright African Elements.